We've got a lot to cover, so we're going to jump right into it. I know we've got some information items here at the top. Chris Peterson, Director of Administration, will deliver our 2024 budget update. Welcome, Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, and good afternoon, Chair Risler and Commission members. Again, Chris Peterson, Director of Administration. Chair Risler, our budget detail today will be presented as an information item. As the information gets pulled up on the screen here, much of what we'll go through today will be repeated during the legislative session, as we have a budget hearing scheduled with the Joint Appropriations Committee on the morning of February 1st. So if any of the commissioners are available either to attend in person, or those meetings are live streamed as well, we welcome your presence or listening into that Joint Appropriations budget hearing that will take place on February 1. So commissioners, what we're going to do today is jump through kind of the most we're going to focus on is the department's budget request and budget recommendation for fiscal year 2024. That budget recommendation actually will start the budget July 1st. The slide that we have in front of you first, though, as we talk about all that kind of technical budget information, we just want to convey to the commission and the listening public that our goal at the department as staff and leadership is to always incorporate our Game Fish and Parks mission, vision, and priorities into everything we do. So today we'll showcase our budget initiatives, the budget adjustments that our GFP team will support and lead through the legislative session and throughout the upcoming year once formally adopted at the end of the legislative session. Today's presentation looks outward and forward into fiscal year 2024. Within the next number of days, we are going to have and publish the 2022 annual Game Fish and Parks annual report year in review. So even though this report looks forward into 2024, in a number of days here, we'll have a good summary of what calendar year 2022 looked like as well. And as always, these presentations, we try to balance policy and budget collectively as we go through. So commissioners, the first budget slide we actually have today is the biggest of the big picture. It is the budget recommendation for all of Game Fish and Parks, the fiscal year 2024 budget. Total budget request is $119,714,536. That'll cover all the programs, the staffing, everything we do between administration, parks, wildlife, all of our projects. This budget actually is an overall decrease from what we have in the current fiscal year. So if we're about halfway through our current fiscal year 2023, that budget is listed in the middle column there at almost $124 million and 583.9 FTE. As you work your way across to the right, you can see this budget recommendation at $119.7 million is actually an overall decrease of $4.2 million. And the preceding slides, we're really going to get into some of the details on where those budget adjustments, increases and decreases, kind of flow throughout the budget. Notice in the very bottom right-hand corner, no staffing, we call them FTE, full-time equivalent positions in our agency or across state government, no recommended changes in staffing to still fulfill everything we're going to put in front of you today. For the commissioners, next slide here. Our Game Fish and Parks budget is really unique in state government. It has six different budget units, we call them, six different kind of division program area levels. But the uniqueness of the Game Fish and Parks budget is that the overall responsibility and kind of authority within this overall department budget is really kind of split two ways. The Division of Administration, which is this 0601 at the top, that budget includes engineering, legal counsel, communications and marketing, the central finance office that I supervise, all the commission expenses, office of the secretary, all those administrative type services. That budget does have a little bit of general fund dollars in it, and therefore is appropriated with responsibility through the legislative process, governor's recommendation and legislative process. the next two, items number 2 and 3 on the list, are the operations and projects of our wildlife division. No general funds in those budgets. These budgets, as far as the legislature is concerned, is informational to them. They look at and review the budget, but for all the operations of the wildlife division, anything related to hunting, fishing, access, habitat, all those things that all of you debate every month, all the operations, the budget for that, is under the authority, as well as fee setting, of the Game Fish and Parks Commission. So that stands true for the operations and staffing of the Wildlife Division, but also the third one on this list, which is 0612, Wildlife Capital Development Improvement. For both of our divisions, Wildlife, Parks, and Recreation, we divide the budget into kind of the operational side, people and contracts and things, and then projects. So 0612 is Wildlife Capital Development Improvement. That is the project side of the wildlife budget, and we'll actually get into some projects and what that budget looks like going on. So items 2 and 3 are informational. Items 4 and 5, which is the operation budget of the Parks Division, and for number 4 and number 5, the Capital Development Improvement budget, project budget for the Parks Division. Those two budgets are, again, set with authority and responsibility of the legislature through the regular kind of government process. And then we move down into the last component, 0622. That's our Stoneville Trails program. Again, no general fund dollars in that program. Informational, which means for all of you, the responsibility and budget authority lies with the commission for that budget. So 6 different components the regular legislative process. The 3 budgets actually have formal and full responsibility of the Game Fish and Parks Commission, which is why every year, kind of in May, June, we come back to you after the whole budget cycle is complete and have you actually take formal kind of adoption, approval action on some of these budgets. So that will come in May, June, and for now, everything we're going to do is informational and budget. Just one other way, next slide, is just to look, one other way to kind of to spin out that $119 million budget for the overall department. We just broke it down into kind of those 6 different division budget unit areas. You can see of that $119 million, $58.9 million, the largest kind of light blue pie chart slice of the pie there is for wildlife operations. You can see another $7.4 million, the yellow slice of the pie there, that's that capital project budget for wildlife, $13.1 million of parks operations, $15.8 million in that Parks Capital Development Project budget, and $1.4 for Stoneville. So it just basically breaks that $119 million into those 6 different component categories. On the same side, as we kind of get into the budget, we're going to spend some time talking about the sources of funds, the sources of dollars that support all the budget for each of these budget units. Collectively, across the whole department, you can see the greatest majority share of the overall budget, $81.3 million in this other funds category. For the listening public, legislators, commissioners, other funds is really a term we use across state government to basically, in our world, categorize or define the generated revenues that all of you work on every day. So this is your park entrance licenses, your camping reservations, your hunting and fishing licenses, and some miscellaneous little other things, ways that the department generates money. But those are the big 4, hunting, fishing, camping, park entrance, going to make up the greatest share of that $81.3 million. Federal funds, there are a lot of programs and agencies at the federal level that help support what we do in the state of South Dakota for outdoor recreation. That equals about $31.6 million. And then state general funds tax dollars are appropriated through the regular budget process, the legislative process to the department. Make note of the general funds. About half of those dollars are passed through for basically bond payments on projects. And then the other half we actually use for some operational stuff that we'll get into if we want. So that's a breakdown of the full budget. And then, Chair Ressler and Commission, we're going to go into kind of those 6 different components and spend a little time in each one as we go through today. First up is our Division of Administration. One of the smaller program areas of the department, 5.1 million dollars for the overall budget. Most of that budget is used for the salaries for Chris Hull and Nick Washington behind me, and then we have a little bit of dollars left over after that. Well, actually, in all seriousness, Madam Chair, $5 million budget. 5.1 in the current year. One small adjustment. As we kind of talked about those general funds, you see an increase here of $2,918. Across the department, we haven't done this for a few years, but at times the department will work with the legislature to issue revenue bonds. It's kind of how the department will fund project money up front, and then it basically creates like a mortgage payment over 20, 30 years, very similar to, you know, your personal mortgage. And then those mortgage payments will change based on some just fee rates for the year. So we have one bond that gets paid for fish hatchery construction and renovations we did better part of 20 years ago. That bond rate for the hatcheries is changing for this year by $2,918. So that's the only adjustment that we have commissioned for the Division of Administration up until the point where the legislative process takes place. And then as the legislative process moves through, salary package, meaning like healthcare benefits and salary rate increases for state employees, whether it's across the board increases or different targeted increases we've talked with all of you about before, that kind of makes its way through the legislative process for all of state government as a package. So as the legislature just got started the session this week, as that goes through the process and final decisions are made probably here sometime later in March, then we'll come back to you and we'll give you an update to this budget and all the budgets on what salary package might look like for our employees. So that's later to come, but for now, that's outside of our budget recommendation.
Question?
Yeah,
do
we have time for questions?
Can I answer just a question? Thank you, Chris. Commissioner Bartley. First of all, I thought that was, that extra increase was just for you, but now that I know it's for Chris, I feel a little bit bad. But so this does not include the salary package, the proposed salary package that the governor had spoke of earlier?
Correct.
Or does it?
Chairman, it does not.
It does not.
Commissioner Bartley, this recommendation excludes that, and then that budget. In our world, what that really means, because most of what we do is paid for out of that $81 million of other funds, we'll get budget authority when that package gets approved above and beyond what you see here.
Okay.
So in most cases, for an agency, let's say, you know, 3% across the board or 2% across the board or, you know, targeted increases, $2, $3 million, that budget authority will come on top of what we see here. And then on this particular page, you'd see kind of bottom left-hand side, personal services, right, where there's zero recommended increase. At some point in time, with an approved salary, an increase would get added in there, and then we'd give you that update potentially in March, April, May, that time frame.
Thank you. Thank you.
Moving on, again, just to kind of break out the budget, the Division of Administration, into kind of those areas that I mentioned briefly before, the next slide we have has just a breakout of the staffing. We've got, you can move on to one more for me, Nick. This is 29.3 FTE broken out for the different areas of the Division of Administration. Secretary's office has about 7.6 FTE. Central Finance Office is 6, Communications, Marketing, Outreach, 7.2, and then our engineering team as well that I mentioned, 8.5. So a good distribution of where the staffing resources reside within the Division of Administration. Of course, you can see by the nature of what's in here, these are those internal resources that really support the operations and efforts of our Parks and Wildlife, or excuse me, our Wildlife Division and Parks and Recreation Division. So internal support services for sure. Moving on to the next slides, we're going to kind of cover very similar information here for the Division of Wildlife. So this would be, from a legislative perspective, one of those informational budgets for all of you. This would be one of those budget areas that you have full responsibility and control over. This is the operations budget for the Division of Wildlife. Budgeted for fiscal year 2024 here, we have a recommendation of $58.8 million. The current year budget is higher than that at 60.6. So as we reduce some budget authority here, the recommended change is a reduction of $1.8 million for this budget. And as we move on to the next slide, we wanted to adjustment of that level warrants a little further discussion. So we took a slide here and kind of broke out how we get to that $1.8 million of budget reduction. What does it actually mean to reduce the budget for the Wildlife Division? Actually, we've got a couple different things going on noted on this slide here. About $1.9 million in the terrestrial management section of the budget is being reduced. It's kind of a one-time budget adjustment that we can make. For the last number of months, we've been talking about the timing and recent approval by the U.S. Department of Agriculture for the Big Sioux River CREP program. So implementation of that program, securing about $25,000 of acres through landowners and enrollments will, of course, equal public access on those acres. The timing of those enrollments, so it takes a while to get, we've got a budget already set, you know, existing in the Wildlife Division for the CREP program, but just how long it took to get approval from the federal government for that plan so that the Wildlife Division could actually start enrollments. Those enrollments just started here this fall, right, November, December of 2022, which means then after enrollments, that's when payments actually come due, which is when we would spend money out of the budget to pay those landowners. So the timing of when that Big Sioux River CREP starts versus when we actually start spending money on it gives us about a year of time there where we won't be spending money out of the budget. So when you just kind of think, you know, the approval or the authority, budget authority to spend money, we have the ability to take this budget for one time and we're moving into the projects. We're going to do some projects with that budget authority. And then most likely we'll be back to all of you next year and say, hey, that budget we moved last year in the project, can we move it back up? Because now we got to write checks for the Big Sioux River CREP program. So that adjustment there is about $1.9 million. Even with that kind of decrease there, we still have cost increases that we need to account for. In the Wildlife Division, we came up with about $136,084 to be exactly right. And across any state government agency, across anything that any of us are doing in our private or personal lives, inflation is key, right? So we're noting that we're taking advantage of, you know, the information that we've learned over the last year or so, and we know that, you know, just those things like gasoline, electricity, heating fuels, water, garbage, sewer costs, buying supplies, inflationary things are going to cost more last year and this year than they did 2, 3, 4 years ago. So we're kind of putting in the budget an increase of about $136,000 for inflationary growth and costs. But then if you take that against the $1.9 million of reductions we can do one time, that's where you get to the net $1.8 million overall decrease for the Wildlife Operations Division. Moving on to the next slide, as we've talked about, you have the operations side that we just went through for the Wildlife Division, and now you roll into kind of the capital development, the project side of the Wildlife Division. So you can see this budget, different from what we just looked at, this budget has a current level of just about $4.8 million, $4,794,400. We're actually asking for this budget to increase. So that budget reduction we just talked about for operations, it's going to move down in here, that $1.8 million. But we're also asking for some additional growth here to work on some projects within the Division of Wildlife. So overall budget is going to be that $7.4 million in total. And our next slide actually breaks that out into some of the main project areas that we see going forward into fiscal year 2024. Commissioners, one of the other pieces I'm going to have all of you note is that our two construction budgets, this is unique to state government as well. There's a few other agencies that have this. But our construction budgets, when we appropriate and get the budget authority, operations is 1 year for the budget. But when we have our project budget, we actually get 2 years to spend these dollars. So this budget, this $7.4 million, instead of having just 12 months to get $7.4 million worth of projects done, we actually have 24 months to spend the budget for this project budget and 24 months for the project budget we'll talk about soon in the Parks Division as well. So for the particular projects in the Capital Development Division budget for wildlife, we have four projects plus some general M&R money related to shooting ranges. Staff is currently working on shooting range development projects in Fall River County, Beacon Hill, which is Brookings County area, Sioux Falls Outdoor Campus with expansion shooting range stuff there. And this can be gun, archery, combination of all of the above. And you're all very familiar with the West River Range Complex that we're working on outside of the Black Hills area there too. So all of those projects included pieces of them in the budget for $3.6 million. We've also got four projects identified, Fort George, Lake Madison, Lake Inpesca, and Cottonwood Lake for hunter and angler access at about $502,000. We have some facility and structure renovations, whether it's small dams at $450,000, some of our state-owned buildings and facilities across the state at $186,000, and renovations to our main three fish hatcheries as well at $550,000. So facilities and structures as a category is going to be about $1,186,000. And then one of the other areas that many of you are familiar with is the use of the new habitat stamp funds, the habitat stamp certifications that have now been part of license sales over the last couple of years. Specifically in this capital project budget, we're earmarking about $2 million of those funds. That source generates us about $5.5 million. Some of those are used for contracts and will be part of the CREP signups and those kind of things as we move forward. But specifically in the capital project budget, $2 million, including enhancements to small dams, access to trails, $400,000 for boat ramps, habitat improvement and restorations of $600,000, and work on urban fisheries to the tune of about $250,000. So between all those big categories and their smaller projects within each one of those, of course, we have a list of those. But that collectively gets to the overall capital development budget of that $7.4 million for the wildlife division. Similar to what we did for the administration division, we have some of those slides that we can use kind of in pie chart form. Madam Chair and committee members, the first slide here, we wanted to take a look. We're kind of talking about expenses and where the department plans to spend their money. It's good to look at the other side of the ledger. This is the revenue side for the Division of Wildlife. This particular pie chart, you can see some of the biggest parts of the pie there, kind of the orange-colored non-resident hunting licenses. Kind of holding true status quo with maybe projecting a little bit the growth in some of our revenue categories. We'll get into some of those here in a little while too, but for the 2024 budget, it's built with about $15.5 million of non-resident hunting fishing licenses, about $15.5 million of non-resident hunting licenses, $8.4 million, kind of the greenish slice of the pie there, $8.4 million of resident hunting licenses. The habitat stamp funds that I mentioned there at about 9%, about $5.3 million. Resident and non-resident fishing licenses are both projected to be about $3.3 million. And then one of the other biggest pieces we have within the Wildlife Division is the projected use of our federal funds, specifically here, Pittman-Robertson and Dingell-Johnson. So that's our wildlife restoration, sport fish restoration funds. Those are tax dollars that are collected at the federal level on hunting and fishing equipment, bait and tackle and boats, guns and ammunition, all those things. And then those funds are distributed from the federal government back to states on a formula that includes license sales and populations of states and land mass and those kind of things too. So what we're projecting for the use in 2024 PRDJ money is about $18.5 million. That kind of breaks out the sources of funds that are going to go to support the wildlife division. As we move forward, we've got a slide that breaks out the staffing side. That wildlife operations budget that we looked at and we checked out the numbers had 296.5 FTE. You can see some of the biggest categories here, or all the categories of kind of wildlife operations staffing is included in here. Terrestrial habitat and access, kind of our field staff that way, 48.2 FTE, our conservation law enforcement, that's supervisors and field staff law enforcement officers is budgeted at 73 FTE, wildlife management at 41, administrative staff, kind of wildlife admin and licensing at 16.5 FTE, wildlife damage management, kind of that bottom right-hand blue slice, that's 32.8 FTE. Those are the staff that work on trapping, depredation, predator control, coyotes, deer depredation, goose depredation, all those things. Those are the staff that work in that category there. Our aquatic management section is 43.1 FTE, along with fish hatchery operations, kind of the two in the upper left-hand corner there. Fish hatchery operations at 15. And then one of the categories that we like to point out, not salaried employees, not official employees from the department, but we do like to note that we have 9.2 FTE of hours, of what we call a full-time equivalent is about 2,088 hours for an individual. So that 9.2 FTE is what we plan to use for just volunteer services at our outdoor campuses, volunteers who support our programs across the wildlife division. So a great number to have, you know, 9.2 FTE, that's going to get you close to 19,000-20,000 of volunteer support hours that don't come with salary costs for the department. So we super appreciate, like to highlight our volunteer time on this slide. Even though it doesn't count for FTE and there aren't dollars associated with it, it's such a great benefit for the department. And we've got some information to talk about that as we get into the Parks Division as well. Commissioners, our last pie chart slide for the Wildlife Division is just breaking out the budget into some of them main categories as well. So we know it's $66.2 million between operations and capital development. And here's the things that we're going to work on within that budget. So you've got habitat and access. Just like the priorities in the mission statement and the vision dictate, that's going to be one of the high priority areas. And again, that's where policy kind of drives the budget. $21 million of habitat and access work. Wildlife management, that's going to include the depredation and that kind of stuff, as well as survey work, those kind of things. That's at $11.5 million. The capital projects are at $7.4 million. Fisheries management, all of our aquatic management stuff, that's at $10 million. And then public service, that's going to be our mapping staff, our licensing staff, and our law enforcement, all those people that interact on a daily basis with the public. And that's at $16.3 million in the budget as well. So, Madam Chair, that kind of gets us through the pie charts for the Wildlife Division. We wanted to showcase a little bit of information on what kind of generates that revenue for the Division of Wildlife. Of course, a couple of the first slides we have to show you, the ones that are familiar, if not to many of us, all of us, resident small game license sales. So these are the hunting license side of the small game licenses. Of course, much of that will be chasing around the rooster pheasant in the fall of the year. You can see our license sales for that between 50 and 55,000 sales for most years. And you can see 2022, we actually peaked at that 55,000 mark, which was on this slide the highest in the last 5 years for sure, with that resident small game license sales. Moving on to the next slide, as good as our small game license sales were, well, this is a slide where we have some work to do. And this is our resident fishing license site. Staff, Nick and his team, they've been in front of you talking about marketing and reactivation of our resident anglers. And this slide tells the story on why it's such a priority for the department. You can see that that year when the outdoors stayed open in South Dakota during the pandemic, 2020, we had such an activation of our resident anglers, and you can see what the trend has been since those times. So that's why you'll see our agency coming in front of you and talking about all those activities that we can do to reactivate those anglers and get this number trending back in the other direction for us. So that's the resident fishing license slide. We're going to just shift gears a little bit and go into our out-of-state hunters and anglers, the non-resident side. The first slide we have there is just a tick down from 2021 to 2022 at just under 80,000 of non-resident small game hunters. These would be those individuals taking advantage of the 10-day, two 5-day period non-resident small game licenses, youth licenses that we might sell in there. So very strong. We definitely have turned the tide on that three-year downward trend that you see there from 2018 to 2020. And have some strong sales here for 2021 and going into 2022. Madam Chair, the last sales slide we have is the non-resident fishing license slide. Again, what we see here is the activation of those anglers, non-resident anglers, that came as part of the outdoors open quota during the pandemic. We had strong sales in 2020. The only thing we did there is match and increase those sales and the use by our non-resident anglers for 2021. We do have a small downtick in sales represented on the slide here. But one thing to note is with some of the adjustments that all of you helped the department make, we kind of changed the age of youth for the fishing licenses, where you can have a fish for free now under the age of 18 instead of 16. So some of this decrease in license sales, we knew we were going to do as part of that kind of recruitment and retention effort. So really, you have really strong license sales on the fishing side for both 2021 and 2022. If we were to proactively made that adjustment on the age of the youth for that piece that went away in 2021. So strong fishing license sales there as well. And I think, Madam Chair and Commission members, it's a good point to make at this time that as you see those strong sales, and knowing that that's that $81 million worth of the budget, for things that it gives us, I think, comfort at the department level, knowing that we can embark on more projects, as you see here. We can cover salary packages if and when they get approved. And things look pretty good as long as we can continue to have strong sales on the resident and non-resident side. And it lets us kind of zero in on those areas like resident fishing, where we can actively try to reactivate some of those anglers in some of those areas. So things are looking good on the license sales side for the Wildlife Division. The next two slides that we have on the page are just a breakdown on the next two slides of those main categories of federal funding for the agency. The first one is Pittman-Robertson. You can see that we had somewhat of a downward trend over 2018, 2019, 2020. 2020, some of that was just created because this is sales at the federal level, and if businesses aren't open and aren't selling hunting and fishing license equipment or hunting and fishing equipment, things like that, guns and ammunition, less sales is going to mean less federal tax dollars collected and less dollars to distribute to the states. But since things have gotten opened back up, you can see the significant increases. And a lot of this PR money, it's based for wildlife management and habitat and access projects. So there's a lot of things we do in this agency that these monies can be used for, including some of those shooting ranges that we were growing the budget for on the project. The Pittman-Robertson money will be used for that. We do have some pretty solid preliminary estimates that we expect absolutely that the 2023 apportionments for Pittman-Robertson should be as high as 2022, if not even a little higher yet. So we expect $18+ million to be available for federal fiscal year 2023, which just basically started a few months ago for us as well. So, looking really strong there on the Pittman-Robertson side. And then the last slide for the Parks Division, very similar, Dingle Johnson. So this is the sales of the boating, fishing, angling equipment on that side. And you can see very strong with an average of about $4.5 million a year, but we're creeping up and we're gonna be, for 2023, probably a little over that $5 million mark for that apportionment too. So again, strong ability to take care of some of those federal dollars and use them for angling projects, shoreline restorations and access and all those good things as well. So that's the federal side for Dingle Johnson. Madam Chair, we're going to roll into shift gears from the wildlife side and roll into the Parks and Recreation Division. So the first slide we're going to have up is back to the numbers. First slide here is $31.1 million. This is for Parks and Recreation operations. So no projects here, but this is the staffing. All the field sites we have for every park location, every district, every region we have out there. Reaccess area on the state parks and recreation side. For this budget, current year, kind of middle column on the bottom there, $30.3 million currently in the budget, 250 FTE. Again, no FTE growth requests are recommended here for the budget. And an increase of $764,255 in the budget. A lot of that, as we turn on to the next slide, a lot of that growth is going to be kind of the bottom of the slide first here for inflationary adjustments, again, including supplies and utility costs and those things, the things it costs to operate those state park and recreation area locations. Again, no FTE changes. There is a budget adjustment of $220,000 of basically budgets and salaries. A lot of what we're going to use that $220,000 on is as we have to compete for staffing and services just like everybody else does. Our department has really gone into a scenario. We are cross-training all of our law enforcement officers to support state parks and our park rangers to support hunting and fishing conservation officer work in the fall season. So as we kind of build those budgets and it gives us access to more staff, we're able to do more things and kind of cross-train for us. We have seen a growth in how much our conservation officers can support the Parks and Recreation Division during the busy summertime. So it's kind of a shifting of cost over here for that as well. The other bullet there is we have to compete with seasonal staffing, whether it's local communities, retail stores and the restaurant business for all of those seasonals and interns. So we're always looking to increase and enhance our wages for those employees as well. And we needed a little bit of extra budget so that we could offer some increases for our seasonal staff as well. So that's kind of the operations side of the budget. You do see $4,945. It was the red number there that was the decrease in general funds. That, again, 100% tied to a few of those bond payments that we have for facilities out at Custer State Park and Gooder State Park and the Visitor Center in Custer and things like that. So, again, just kind of a few fee changes to our bond payments. So we're going to shift gears next and move into the capital project budget. A substantial decrease in this budget. You can see the middle column there, budgeted in the current year, $21.6 million of projects budgeted. Again, we get 2 years to spend those funds. But 21.6 in the current year, we're actually asking for that budget to kind of reduce down to $5.8 million to settle in at about $15.8 million moving forward. Really, the strategy behind reducing this budget is last year when we built the budget, in 2019, state government and the Parks Division had gone through a fee increase, and then basically when we left the outdoors open, we had such great camping and park visitation work, we kind of banked some dollars on the front end within the Parks Division, and then the next year after that, 2020-2023 here budget, we started to use those monies that were generated and put them back into projects, basically take care of everything we had already. But the $21 million budget was really probably something that's not sustainable on an ongoing basis. We were taking advantage of some one-time funding in those areas. So now we have to kind of take that capital budget and settle it back into something that's more standardized, more usual, more affordable on an ongoing basis for the Parks and Recreation Division to sustain. So again, a lot of projects going on within that budget. The next slide, as we just kind of talk about what those categories are, we have kind of three main components of the capital project budget. We have preventative maintenance. That's kind of your basic M&R, taking care of everything we have. We do have a new development type budget. You can see here, 2.5 million of the 2.6 that we have budgeted for new development activity is continuing on in those phases of development at Palisades that we've been working on over the last couple of years. On the preventative maintenance side, you can see we've got $12.8 million of funds budgeted. And literally within there, $8 million, including $2.8 million that we have for road work from South Dakota Department of Transportation. But $8 million by itself goes to road projects. That's either the connector roads right in front of our state parks or the actual roads themselves inside the state park and recreation areas. So, building roads is expensive, and that's why you need a budget to this size just to be able to handle all of that work. So, big piece there. And then water-based budget, really, we just kind of classify water-based is those habitat, or excuse me, the kind of the access and type budgets in and around any of the water that our state parks and recreation areas are next to, and we've got $1 million worth of boat ramp improvements projected for starting in fiscal year 2024, and again, we'll get two fiscal year cycles to spend these dollars. So our engineers will be plenty busy getting these dollars spent over the next couple of cycles. Madam Chair, we're going to show some similar slides that we looked at in wildlife. This time we're switching over to the Parks and Recreation Division. So Again, with a large budget, we want to look at the revenue sources that support the Parks and Recreation Division. First, the largest slide, bottom left-hand corner here, parks revenue. This is going to be your park entrance licenses, whether it's your daily, your annuals, all that, along with all your camping reservation money, $24.3 million projected there. Another big piece of the pie is going to be $9.1 million of federal funds. We've got a couple slides coming up on what some of those main federal areas are for trails and projects that way. A couple other slides, we talked about it on the slide before, $2.8 million of DOT road funds that help connect our parks to the highways and byways across the state. Motor fuel tax money, that's actually highway gas tax money that's dedicated from basically the highway gas tax fund and goes to support motor boat fuel access projects for our agency. We talked about the general funds and some of the information before, how much is actually for bond payments, and then the Parks Division does use about $3.3 million annually, and we use that basically to support some of that seasonal salary work that we do for the agency. Promotion and concessions at $3.6 million. That piece is really kind of those arrangements and concession agreements we have with like Custer State Park Resort and the other areas up and down the Missouri River for some of those resort facilities as well. And then snowmobile trails, snowmobile money, like snowmobile license money and snowmobile gas tax money comes in about $850,000 a year. So a wide range of different sources that help support all the activities of the State Parks Division. Moving on to the next slide, breaks out where the staff kind of spend their time, kind of by the type of staff we use. We have about 12.4 administration and kind of planning staff. We have 125.8 of our full-time parks operations staff. That's our full-time employees located at in and around every state park and recreation area across the state. Snowmobile trails. In a snow year like this, we may use close to 9.1 FTE, but in lighter snow years, we won't use all of that allocated FTE for grooming all of those trails in the Black Hills. But 112 FTE, which really, when you think of something that high, a lot of hours of time and staff. This is going to be college kids and seasonal staff across. We recruit literally hundreds and hundreds of them each year to work in our state park system. And then similar to what we talked about with the Wildlife Division, for the State Parks Division, our annual volunteer effort, 53.5 FTE, you're talking 110,000 hours worth of volunteer time, and that's unpaid volunteer time for all these staff, you know, non-employees that help out, help this whole system do what it does across the state. So a wonderfully big number that we like to showcase, even though it doesn't hit the budget. It's a lot of hours out there that we like to talk about. Madam Chair, just a couple additional slides to go through. One last pie chart and a couple bar charts for us. The last pie chart breaks out the budget again into the categories, right? So we kind of talked about these before. When you look at it kind of in this way, $31.1 million for operations. That preventative maintenance slide is 10.6, water-based at 2.5, snowmobile trails at 1.4 million, and new development at the 2.6, of which most of that I can talk about is for our next phase in project at Palisades State Park. So all that rolled together, you get the $48.3 million budget that includes parks operations, the projects, and our snowmobile trails program. A good place to be, and I'm sure we're going to roll into the bar charts a little bit here, just show you where the activity in the parks is strong, which equals strong dollars that we just looked at on the pie chart. So parks visitation, again, you see that trend of keeping the outdoors open from 2019 to 2020, and things have remained very strong for parks visitation with just a small tick down in 2022 to just under that $8 million visitations slide, not dollars, but actual visitations in the park system. The next slide talks about our camping nights, our camping units. You can see across the board that kind of stopping that downward trend in 2019. Keep in mind that 2019 for our Parks Division was a challenging year. Lots of flood damage repairs, lots of places not open at different times of the year, so that was kind of a low point for us at just over 300,000 camping nights or units. But since that time, when we've stayed open, things continue to climb, and record camping nights again in 2022 at just under 400,000 nights. Secretary Roebling keeps talking about that day when we finally hit that 400,000 mark. And, we didn't quite do it this year, but we wouldn't be surprised if we hit it for next year. That's kind of our last slide on the kind of the internal activity. We've got two slides here to talk about on the federal funding side, similar to what we did for Pittman Robertson and Dingell Johnson. We have two slides we want to show you. The first one is the Rec Trails Program. These are federal dollars that come in from the Federal Highway Administration. On average, we are going to be right at $1 million plus or minus for federal highway money. In the 2022 year here, there was some administrative dollars that went unused and got to be redistributed. So we were contacted by Department of Transportation to say, hey, we've got some funds available. If you have some projects that you can get out the door within a short amount of time, we can give you an additional allocation on a one-time basis. So we said absolutely. It's like $966,000. We'll put it out there for some more projects that we can use on trails. And these projects can be used on trails, but hosted by local government, municipalities, counties. We use them internally in our state parks and recreation areas. A lot of things, those ways that we can do for trail systems and supporting just outdoor recreation in local communities and our state parks. So dollars there, we'll spend those one-time dollars and we might settle back into about that $1 million and continue on with that federal source of funds in the Rec Trails Program. Second graph, Land and Water Conservation Fund. This has been one of the areas of the budget that, as we've been in front of the commission or the legislature over the last number of years, we continue to ask for budget adjustments, budget increases, a lot of times on projects, from this source of funds. So it becomes federal funds, of course, for our department and the State Parks Division. But if you go back to 2014, 2015, it was pretty standard to have about $200,000 to $400,000 of land and water conservation funds appropriated by Congress at the federal level to the states. And we operated a lot of years $200,000 to $400,000. And then it started to tick up here after 2015, and you can see that just additional dollars being appropriated at the federal level for Land and Water Conservation Fund to the tune of over $2.5 million. Last year, the fiscal year 2022 that we just ended, we were just under that $2.5 million mark. We expect those dollars to remain at that $2 million plus mark for a while here yet. Again, a lot of renovation of public outdoor recreational facilities, whether it's the parks and the recreation areas at the local county level or within our side, our agency, and land and water conservation funds can also be used at times local or state level to be part of purchasing land in park areas as well. So a good source of funds. We really earmark it for a lot of project type work there at the State Parks Division. So, strong federal support there as well. And Madam Chair, a couple last slides to look at. Our last program to look at is the Snowmobile Trails Program. You've seen this on some of those park charts and bar charts already. The next slide has that $1.4 million budget, 9.1 FTE, and then no recommended adjustments to this budget whatsoever. On a busy snow year, we can use most of that funds grooming our trails. Like we will this year, but no adjustments. If and when that salary package comes due, we'll make an adjustment here. But other than that, it's good to go for another year on the Snowmobile Trails Program. That covers the 2024 budget with one last slide to talk about. As we ended, state fiscal year runs July 1 to June 30th. We ended our last fiscal year. We had to scramble and take every dollar of budget authority we had. We had the dollars, but we had to take every dollar of budget authority in our parks operations division, because when we put that 2022 budget together, you know, 24 some odd months ago, we didn't know inflation was going to be 8-9%. And then you start living in state parks world and seeing your utility bills and your supplies and things like that go. That we barely made the budget. We had the dollars, but barely enough budget authority as we ended last June 30th. which told me right away, 2023, because we hadn't factored in, you know, inflation, that 8-9% when we built the 2023 budget. So we have a request into the legislature, working with the governor and her budget office, to give us a bump up of budget authority just so we can spend the parks monies in the current budget year of about $750,000. We talked about it already for 2024. We're asking for $764,000 in the budget. But we think we're going to need some of that authority just in the current year so that we can absorb those inflationary cost increases. So we underestimated, but I think with the approval of this during the legislative package, House Bill 1049, actually, we should be in good shape to have all the budget we need for the Parks Division too. Madam Chair, a lot of information, a lot of dollars to throw at everybody that way. That's what we have for the presentation. We're going to start next week and the next number of weeks with the legislative process, working through a lot of this information, starting with our presentation on February 1. We'll answer for sure lots of questions then, and we can sure be available for questions that you might have right now too.
All right, thank you, Chris. A lot of work went into this, no doubt, and I think it drives home all of the different areas that our department has to manage, so thank you. Any questions? Commissioner Bartley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Chris. That's a good presentation. I'm going to kind of throw that old appropriator hat on. The fish hatcheries for the $550,000, can you kind of elaborate a little bit where you're looking at seeing that as you present that to the Appropriations Committee?
Yes, absolutely can, Commissioner. We have the three fish hatcheries, Claycorn, McNenny out West Riverside, and then our Wabe fish hatchery on the eastern side of the state. So those facilities, it's been about 20 years since we redid those bonds and those kind of things. So there's always needs for systems inside those hatcheries. Some of the dollars we've spent on just keeping the old systems up and going, but at other times we can spend the dollars to kind of innovate and move forward. All of you were had a chance to visit out in the Black Hills, kind of those reticulating systems where we're kind of moving that. So dollars to kind of move some of our systems from the old cement ponds into those kind of things too as well. So covers a lot of areas, but kind of innovative at the same time.
Okay. And a follow-up. Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one more question. FTEs, do you foresee that the legislature will want to maybe, and maybe that's more for the Secretary, increase the FTEs in view of the aquatic invasive species that we're dealing with?
Yeah, Commissioner, go ahead. Yeah, okay. We think we're going to have some ongoing, probably pretty in-depth conversations on invasive species as we go through. One of the things we've really been talking about inside the department is because staffing at anything is so hard to come by, we're really trying to go out and contract with as many types of areas as we can. Inside the department, we're thinking about cross-training seasonal staff that maybe aren't specifically designated to do AIS. We can cross-train them to maybe serve as inspectors too, certain times of the year, fill gaps. But the other thing we've looked at doing, we did this last year too, is actually contract. Last year we contracted with the local conservation district, at the local government side, out in the West River for sure. And then we pay a contract and we let them go out and recruit. They tried to recruit and they struggled to recruit staff too. So maybe it's not as much of an FTE, but just staffing, volunteers, some of the local lake community associations and stuff too. So for sure we need more staffing. It just will depend on how we approach that. It's probably going to take any and all of those ways to do it.
Okay.
And then
thank you. And then, Chris, with the conservation officers, the FTEs that are in there, does that include any? Does that include vacant positions that are there we are attempting to fill?
Absolutely, Commissioner. The 73 is kind of our budget number, right? So for years, we've probably been 10 down from actual utilization of staff. Here's the best part about that. If you go back in time, maybe 6 months, we had 18 vacant spots, and we got 12 of those filled up in the last 6 to 8 months here. So yeah. That number of vacant conservation spots is down to 4 or 5 now. So we know the governor and the legislature put in some targeted salary increases. We had to put that into the budget and kind of account for that for this 2023 year. And it really helped because we're getting there. We'll see how far we can get to fully staffed, but we'll take down 4 instead of down 18 anytime.
Sounds great. Thank
Yes. Any other questions? Chris, I do have a couple for you. Is there anything in the funds? I know sometimes we'll have these storms that come up and destroy some of our infrastructure. Are there funds put away, kind of emergency funds for those particular situations?
Chairperson, yeah, there's a couple things in state government that we have access to. A good example is when we looked at where we were really down in 2019. Those were kind of flood damage repairs, right? So we were successful in getting some FEMA dollars for those areas in South Dakota that were, you know, federally declared disaster areas. So we were successful there. Governor Noem and her team on the front end of that kind of created a disaster relief loan program through the Department of Public Safety and their Emergency Disaster Fund. It was made available to us at the state level as well as local governments. And that's more of like a 7-year short-term loan fund. So you can take advantage of those. They can like work with the legislature to appropriate money up front, and then we have to pay it back over time. So those are kind of some of the things we do. And then, of course, on our buildings, we have a captive insurance plan with a $50,000 deductible on buildings themselves. But for structures like dams and roads and those kind of things, between FEMA dollars and some of those emergency disaster loan funds that we can do, that kind of gives us good coverage for such things like that.
Another question. I know state government, it will go into effect in terms of the budget July 1st. With the money coming from so many different areas into the GFMP, does that ever cause complexities in terms of pushing it through on the 1st?
Yeah, a little stress for the finance officer at times, absolutely. Madam Chair, but what we really do is inside our agency, we have grant managers inside the Parks Division, you know, Rec Trails, LWCF, grant management staff on the Wildlife Division for Pittman Roberts and Diggle Johnson. And those people have their ear on that stuff every single minute of every day. We have staff that watches the annual, you know, the farm bill as it gets reappropriated every year. So between that and our local staff that report back to us on sales and visitations, we couldn't ask for a better team to communicate up. So it's really kind of grassroots built down up, and it makes us look good at our level for sure.
All right. Anything else before we move on? Yes, Commissioner Watkin.
Thank you. Could you speak a little bit to the bonds, what kind of rates and what changes we're seeing?
Absolutely. Madam Chair, Commissioner Locken, I think the last time we issued some bonds was when we were construction of the visitor center at Custer State Park, and we were that you've all been to, and then the one at Goodover State Park as well. So it's been 4 or 5 years now since we went to the market and issued any bonds. Some of those bonds we were able to issue at, I think it was about 3.75% for those revenue bonds back then. I remember when we did one of the rounds of bonds to kind of renovate some of the facilities out in Custer State Park. When we built the reunion cabin that all of you are familiar with, some of those bigger cabins and the pavilion and stuff, the first round we issued there was at like 6.75%. State of South Dakota, us included, we get to work with the South Dakota Building Authority, and they are the bond experts. And almost like you can refinance your home, they keep their eyes on those markets very closely. And if we have old bonds out there at 5-6%, and current bonds are getting issued at 2%, they'll charge us a little fee, and they'll refinance those bonds for the same amount of years, but allow us to get those rates down. So even those 6.75% rates, I think we're probably at 3-ish% on those now, so they really help us with those two.
Thank you.
Yeah, any other questions before we move on? Job well done to you and your team. You're going to go before the lawmakers February 1st.
Yeah.
And we'll all be watching. SD.net, I think, is where we can listen to it. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. Thank you, Commissioners.